You're listening to an African Elements top news story for July 9, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why is federal funding for civil rights suddenly frozen? The modern battle over civil rights and education is built upon a foundation laid in the mid-20th century. This legal framework was forged by pioneering legal minds who understood that racial justice required strong structural backing.
Long before the Civil Rights Act existed, Charles Hamilton Houston and his protege, Thurgood Marshall, worked systematically to dismantle segregation. In 1940, Marshall founded the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, commonly known as the LDF, as a separate legal organization. The LDF led the legal strategy that culminated in the landmark 1954 Brown v. Board of Education Supreme Court ruling.
Although the Supreme Court declared segregation unconstitutional, many Southern school districts flatly refused to integrate. In response, Congress passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The most powerful lever for compliance in this legislation was Title VI.
This statute declared that no person shall face discrimination under any program receiving federal financial assistance. This provision changed federal funding from an unconditional grant into a tool for constitutional equality.
To enforce these rules, Congress passed the Department of Education Organization Act in 1979. Establishing the Office for Civil Rights. This structure solidified the dynamics of federalism and black politics by giving the federal government direct oversight of local education. Over the decades, Title VI enforcement transitioned from dismantling overt segregation to addressing institutional bias and unequal disciplinary practices. However, under conservative administrations, the interpretation of Title VI began to shift. In recent years, this legal framework has undergone a profound change that civil rights attorneys call a complete inversion. Programs designed to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion for black and brown students are now being recast as discriminatory practices. This represents a major shift from the traditional civil rights enforcement model. This change accelerated following the 2023 Supreme Court decision in Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard. The federal government began using Title VI to dismantle diversity initiatives rather than to enforce integration. In February 2025, the Department of Education issued a high-profile Dear Colleague letter regarding non-discrimination obligations. The letter threatened to deny federal funding to K-12 public schools and higher education institutions that consider race in admissions, hiring, or discipline. State education agencies were eventually required to certify compliance with this directive to continue receiving federal financial assistance. This directive represented a massive escalation in federal policy and marked a dramatic shift in political priorities away from supporting marginalized groups.
The current crisis surrounding civil rights programs is a direct result of a dual strategy. The administration is aggressively reinterpreting civil rights laws while simultaneously dismantling the internal agency capable of enforcing them. In March 2025, the Department of Education implemented a massive reduction in force. This restructuring plan targeted the Office for Civil Rights with devastating personnel cuts.
To understand the true scale of these cuts, one must look at full-time equivalent, or FTE, staffing levels. An FTE is a standard unit representing the workload of one full-time employed person. The administration eliminated 299 out of 575 staff positions at the Office for Civil Rights. This reduction forced the closure of 7 of the agency's 12 regional offices. An Office of Inspector General report in June 2026 revealed that these rapid cuts completely emptied several sub-offices.
This left multiple regional units with zero employees to perform legally mandated civil rights investigations.
The remaining staff could not keep up with the workload. Beyond personnel cuts, the administration attacked the financial lifeblood of the civil rights enforcement apparatus.
In its fiscal year 2027 budget request, the administration proposed cutting the Office for Civil Rights funding by 35%. This proposal aimed to slash the annual budget from $140 million down to $91 million. This reduction severely limits the ability of the agency to process the thousands of active discrimination complaints that remain unresolved. The backlog of cases continued to grow while resources dwindled. Furthermore, the agency refused to spend the money that Congress had already allocated to it.
Under the Congressional Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974, a federal agency cannot legally refuse to spend appropriated funds. The Government Accountability Office launched investigations into potential violations of this law. Bipartisan pressure eventually forced the administration to release some withheld grants. However, a Senate report published in April 2026 revealed that the department allowed over $14.2 million in civil rights funds to expire. Instead of using these funds to resolve a massive backlog of 11,985 pending cases, the department allowed the money to disappear back into the Treasury. This failure to utilize resources has deeply damaged the capacity of the federal government to protect students. In June 2026, the administration took a drastic step by outsourcing its core civil rights investigative duties. The Department of Education signed interagency agreements to move these responsibilities to the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Education advocates warned that this shift fundamentally alters the civil rights enforcement process. Traditionally, the Office for Civil Rights relied on a cooperative, mediation-based model to resolve complaints. This model utilized the cost-free early mediation process to negotiate voluntary compliance agreements with school districts. Shifting these duties to the Department of Justice changes the framework into a punitive, litigation-driven environment. The transfer has created immediate bottlenecks and severe delays in investigations. This leaves school districts facing adversarial legal battles and deprives students of timely resolutions to discrimination complaints. It also strips the Department of Education of its specialized civil rights staff. This removes the agency's historical role of providing supportive technical guidance directly to schools. The funding cuts also directly impacted active educational programs across the nation. The Department of Education abruptly terminated 90 federal grants, totaling $503.8 million. A June 2026 Office of Inspector General report revealed that these terminations targeted initiatives designed to train school-based mental health providers and improve teacher quality. The administration also targeted discretionary grants at minority-serving institutions that utilized race-conscious criteria or diversity principles. These decisions heavily impacted educational outcomes for African-American students who relied on these funded programs. These sudden cancellations left schools with severe budget deficits and forced the suspension of vital student services. For example, Johns Hopkins University reported losing over $50 million across dozens of terminated federal research and educational grants. Affected institutions experienced immediate funding shortages that disrupted teacher preparation and mental health support. In response, groups like the Southern Education Foundation successfully sued in federal court to obtain preliminary injunctions. These legal victories temporarily reinstated the terminated grants and highlighted the severe consequences of these administrative cuts. One of the most intense legal battles occurred over the Federal Equity Assistance Center programs. These regional centers were originally established under Title IV of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 as desegregation assistance centers. They were designed to help school districts comply with the landmark Brown v. Board of Education rulings. Today, they provide critical technical assistance and training to help public schools address educational inequities and teacher shortages. Over 130 public school districts in the United States remain under active federal desegregation orders. Many of these districts rely on equity assistance centers to achieve compliance and address persistent vestiges of segregation. The Southern Education Foundation operated the Equity Assistance Center for the Southern Region until its grant was abruptly terminated in February 2025. In May 2025, a coalition including the NAACP, the LDF, and the Mid-Atlantic Equity Consortium filed a lawsuit to block this termination. A federal district court granted a preliminary injunction in August 2025, forcing the administration to reinstate this critical funding. On February 27, 2025, the Department of Education launched a public-facing online platform known as the End DEI Portal. The administration intended to use this portal to allow parents, students, and community members to report schools utilizing diversity, equity, and CODA inclusion initiatives. The department planned to use these crowdsourced reports to launch civil rights investigations against schools accused of promoting divisive ideologies. This move drew intense criticism from educators. Conservative groups actively promoted the portal, but civil rights organizations strongly condemned it. Groups such as the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights called the portal a snitch forum designed to sow fear and target educators. They argued that it was meant to censor school curriculum rather than safely process legitimate discrimination complaints. Following widespread backlash, operational issues, and federal court injunctions, the website went offline and was quietly dismantled in May 2025. This brief but controversial initiative demonstrated the administration's aggressive push to weaponize federal civil rights tools against equity programs. The reduction in civil rights enforcement has also severely impacted Title IX protections. Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 prohibits discrimination based on sex in any educational program receiving federal financial assistance. The Office for Civil Rights is legally tasked with enforcing these protections, which cover sexual harassment, athletic opportunities, and the rights of LGBTQI+ students. In 2026, the administration heavily leveraged Title IX to threaten K-12 districts that protected transgender students, warning one Colorado district of a potential loss of $98 million in funding. However, the administration's capacity to investigate actual Title IX complaints collapsed following the massive staffing cuts. A Senate report revealed that the Office for Civil Rights resolved zero sexual harassment or assault cases in heavily affected regions during this period. Although the administration attempted to move many civil rights functions to the Department of Justice, the statutory obligation to enforce Title IX remains a fundamental federal mandate. The lack of staff has left students vulnerable to harassment without any functional federal recourse. In response to these sweeping cuts and policy shifts, civil rights organizations have launched a massive legal counteroffensive. This legal struggle echoes the historic battles against the Southern massive resistance to integration during the 1950s. The NAACP and the LDF have deployed a flurry of litigation to block the administration's funding freezes and staff terminations. These organizations have successfully used the federal court system to defend the original intent of the Civil Rights Act. In April 2025, a federal court issued a preliminary injunction blocking the Dear Colleague Directive that threatened to cut funding over diversity programs. By February 2026, the NAACP secured a monumental settlement in which the Department of Education officially agreed to rescind the directive and dismantle its compliance mandates. This legal victory, combined with the court-ordered pauses on staff layoffs, has temporarily preserved the civil rights enforcement framework. The ongoing conflict demonstrates that the courtroom remains the primary battleground for protecting the educational rights of marginalized students. Copyright, African Elements.